Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on our preeminent identity. Preeminent identity. This has been life-changing for me, especially when we're talking about life-changing, we're talking about the mindset, how we think about ourselves. That's why we may sing this song until eternity about I am who you say I am. Until we get that, we are who he says we are and not anyone else. Make a difference what color, what ethnicity, what culture, what people group. They don't label us. God does. Amen. And that's what we stand on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We left off last time at Galatians 3:28 talking about there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. All are one. Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. That's the word of God.
Amen.
There's no denying that. There's no disputing that. Glory be to God. We're the ones I got to get a hold of that. Yeah. He said there is no more male or female. There's no more Jew or Greek. Because why? We are spirit beings first when it comes to God. And we need to remember that. And this is why we should not let the world view how the world views us. Yeah, that's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Yep, 3:28. That's why we are should not let the world, how they view us, treat us, or respond to us, influence how we view ourselves. And I know that's a challenge, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? That once we understand who we are first as spirit beings, that we ought not let the world, how the world sees us, views us, retreats us, responds to us, or anything else to us, influence us as to how we view ourselves.
Amen.
Well, I want that to kind of, just let that marinate for a moment. Let who God says we are, let what the Word of God says about us be with that which influences us. Does that make sense? So if he says we're no longer Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, but all are one in Christ Jesus, Lord, help us to get that in our heart and mind. That's something you got to meditate on to get down. You know what we don't realize? What we've been told by the secular humanistic worldview, we've meditated on it for years and years. It wasn't like the first time we heard it, we just believed it. We didn't know what we were being told, but we were told these things year after year for decades. Think about that. And then we meditate on it. Then we internalized it. So just as those those lies really, or half-truths or mistruths came forth, let this truth, you got to do the same due diligence concerning this truth. You got to meditate on it. You got to think about it. You got to think about it, meditate on it. Let it become a part of the fabric of our mindset. It's like that sponge of water. You know, let the work, we want to be so saturated that when they press down on us, our spiritual sponges, if you will, out comes the water of the Word of God. Because we are so saturated with that. But that takes time, that takes energy and effort. That takes intentionality, that takes being deliberate, it takes being purposeful. That's why I beg you, you ought to get that word every single day. Whatever way that looks. And it's not about just reading your Bible. Remember, we were brought up on reading your Bible. I read my Bible. It turned into a duty, a task, something we did, and then we was basically done with it. We read our Bible, then we would go out and live like the devil that's in that Bible for the rest of the day. You know, all the things the Bible spoke about, it wasn't even really in our head. It was just something we just heard in our ears or saw with our eyes. There was no life-changing effect after reading that Bible. For some, You know what I'm saying? So I will change. But I'm talking about when you turn it into a duty is the point I'm making. Read with the purpose to draw out truths and eventually meditate that word so that it becomes a part of the fabric of your very being. That's the point I'm making. Okay. We talked about that color and the ethnicity and culture. We talked about that it does have value. Why? Because God made color, ethnicities, and people groups and culture. It's a beautiful thing. We can just go ahead and just look at it through God's view. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Amen.
The many cultures and the many colors and shades of people. It's the devil who turned that into weapons and stigmas. And he's a perverter. He got black people, their own selves saying good hair versus bad hair. About their own selves. God made that hair. So it's all good hair. Am I preaching to the right people?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, black Christians need to hear this. We really do. I just have not heard like this. You can actually tailor the Bible to preach blackness in a sense. You can correct stigmas and remove things that we've been brainwashed with. Things that we use to belittle our own selves. You can weaponize yourself with the word of God.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I am so excited about this.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
You can take the Bible and talk to black folk. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible is for all folk.
Amen.
The word of God says a revelation of every tongue and tribe and people and nation. That's what's going to be in heaven. Every tongue, every language, every tribe, all people groups, and people and nations. It's going to be a rainbow of colors, shades, cultures, and ethnicities in heaven, all being one in Christ Jesus. That's going to be a sight to see. Seeing what one theologian, kind of math theologian guy, figured out, maybe about 20 billion people. That's going to be something to see. All getting along for eternity.
Amen.
That's going to be something else. And you know what? We love fellowship. Think about it. That's why we go to birthday parties or have our Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners and so forth. We love fellowship. Or go to the club. You know, I ain't saying all fellowship is right fellowship, but at the root of it is fellowship. We love fellowshipping. That's why we kind of get sad when our children start to grow up. Like, oh man, we ain't going to be able to like hang like we used to, you know. So I got to get intentional, get me a day going and make sure we still do this thing. We love fellowship. We were created for fellowship.
Amen.
It's the perversion of fellowship. That's what the devil has done. But we love fellowshipping. If you just heard what I just said, we're going to do the very thing we love forever and ever. Because we're going to fellowship with him and fellowship with all fellow believers forever. And everyone is going to get along forever perfectly.
Amen.
Man, if there ain't something to look forward to, then I don't know what else is. That's better than your Friday paycheck coming up. You ain't going to get number $2.50 because my man that took the rest of it, you know. It's all about perspective. The word of God gives us perspective. Our perspective, particularly as black people, have been skewed for so long that when somebody began to teach like this from the word of God, it sounds foreign at first. It sounds a little weird, a little strange. But just keep listening. I thank God you all keep listening. You kept listening. And kept believing that this guy's coming from the word. Now he ain't been teaching old wise fables up until now. He ain't mismaking, he ain't just pulling stuff out of his back pocket. He having us turn the chapter and verse. And so the word of God, then the Holy Spirit can use the word that's taught and sink it into your hearts and mind. He got something to work with. But if I'm coming to you with old wives' tales, if I'm coming to you with philosophies and theories and reasonings, then the Holy Spirit can't work with that. But he's coming with the word. And Jesus told his disciples, now you are clean through the washing of water by the word. The word washes us. It cleanses us. And what it is getting all that filth that we've been built up in all these years. From red, brown, yellow, black, and white. And he's cleansing it out. And I'm loving it. In Jesus' name. So, that's not to say that color, ethnicity, culture, they have no value. They do, because God did it. Everything God does is good. The shade you are, the hair you have, the type of body type, God is good on all that. Do not let anyone else tell you otherwise. Now, this ain't no doggone, what's that when they try to geek you up, those preachers? Motivational speeches. This is not that. In a sense. It is in a sense, but it's from the word of God. It's not just to make you feel good. It's to get you to get a hold of truth from God's word.
Amen.
Not my theory or what I think, but what God has already established about us. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. God made you. God made you the shade he made you.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So in that case, you can be black and proud. Amen. But it's because of what God has done, not anything we accomplished.
Amen.
Let's put it in perspective. I understand what the whole Black is Beautiful movement in the 60s was about. I understand that because it was equated to ugliness and darkness and evil and bad. So I understand what was trying to be done then. But we can even go a step further than that and say, yes, we are black and beautiful because God made us. And everything God does is good. Not only good, but very good. So your blackness is very good. Your hair type is very good. Your womanness is very good. Supposedly in society, the ranking, the hierarchy of the value of folks is white man, white woman, black man, black woman at the very bottom. That's society. Yeah. But that's not God.
Amen.
That's why I love the phrase, in my father's house there's a place for me.
Right.
He ain't got to go get something. He ain't got to start no legislation to try to get me up in there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because we weren't included in the beginning.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
He ain't got to go start none. It was like that from before the foundation of the world that black people also would be included in the heaven economy.
Amen.
That's good news.
Amen.
And for me, it's transformational thinking for me. Because this has been in so subtle, you know, and as I've studied, one of my minors is African American studies. And then being a pastor, I've studied probably more than just the average black guy about the history of black people. You see some of the horrors and the terrors. You don't really understand. I didn't really understand by studying that and studying it a little bit more probably than most, that it had kind of affected me. So when this song came out, when we sung this song, I am who you say I am. When we sung this song, I cried like a baby. I just cried and cried and cried. I sat and cried and cried. I couldn't help myself. It was tears of extreme joy and maybe some relief. I don't know. We don't fully all know ourselves because of sin, but something happened to me in a mighty way. I cried so my wife came and just hugged me because she just felt sorry for me. I just kept crying. I'm like, wow. Just a realization washed over me.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are included. You are for me.
Yes.
You are not against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about things that are so much against us, mm-hmm. When you think about things that are going on behind the scenes, we had no idea. So I started thinking like that, you know, because the more I found out, you find little things, you think about, well, what else is against us that we don't know about? You begin to feel a certain type of way. When you hear that, I'm for you, God of the universe, the creator of all. I am for you. I am not against you. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Think about all the slaves that came through. Brutal death of Emmett Till. Murder of Medgar Evers. And on. Begin to think a certain way. And this was a cleansing. It was cathartic. It was a cleansing that just washed all through me. That's one thing I think. Tears are a good thing. I don't know why people always apologize. Sorry for what? This is a natural human function.
Amen.
People on TV, sorry. Man, cry.
Let it out.
Amen. Whoever said let it out. Amen. I let it out. I couldn't help it though. I tried to keep it in. It wasn't going to come out. But the realization, the revelation, the understanding, the relief.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are bogged down with things we don't even have no idea.
That's right. Yeah.
But God knows.
Amen.
God knows. When it says, free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. He died for me.
Amen.
Just didn't die for red, brown, yellow, and not for black people. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white. Of every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. And by the way, the word of God doesn't speak about colors or ethnicities for the most part. Hardly ever. The devil turned all that into that. Speak about them as tongue, tribe, people, and nation. That's how they talk about people. That's why I use it for people groups. Rather than races. There's only one race, human race. But there are many ethnicities, people groups, many languages, tongue, languages, tribes, people, and nations. And so we talk about them as people groups. Glory be to God. And so color and ethnicity and culture does mean something. Then I have in my notes, so our goal is not to be colorblind.
Amen.
It's not it. It's not about being colorblind. It's not, I don't see color.
Right.
Then you got a problem. Then you're overlooking what God has done.
That's right.
Because God made color.
Yes.
And by the way, God made color on purpose.
Yeah.
Did somebody force God to have the red, brown, yellow, black, and white colors? No. He chose that in his own sovereignty. So to be colorblind is to overlook who people are. And what God has done. The thing is to see color and let the surpassing love of God go all over it while you see the red, the brown, the yellow, the black, and the white.
Yeah.
And let the surpassing love of God blow through you to all the colors,
yeah,
all the people groups, all the ethnicities.
Yeah.
Hold the doors open for everybody,
yeah,
who's coming behind you.
Yeah.
Do not discriminate. And as a pastor, I challenge you to hold the door open. I know this is real simple, but to hold the door open for those who you really have a problem with.
Amen.
Yeah.
Make every effort to hold the door open for that, because you're thinking, I'm a child of God first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody going to show love to somebody they don't like, it ought to be me.
Amen.
So take it upon yourself to hold that door open. Take it upon yourself to slide the last shopping cart to somebody and you go out and find one in the rain.
That's right.
Amen.
I challenge you to walk in love.
Amen.
To walk all people groups, especially those you don't like.
Amen.
Because all you're doing is acting like them. Whoever them is. Black supremacy is just as dangerous as white supremacy. You better believe that. And to trade the scenario on how black police killing white unarmed teen is not a good scene. We don't want to trade. I don't think we realize how powerful we are walking as an army of love, the love of God. Mm-hmm. That's something else the world cannot do. Yeah. We're an army, but our weapon is love. The weapon is the word of God. The weapon is truth.
Yeah.
Not legislature, not politics, but love, truth, grounded in the power of God. It's not to be colorblind, but to show the surpassing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can and does transcend color, ethnicity, culture. So that's what our supreme identity is not. It's not our hair, our color, our ethnicity, our culture. It's not that. It's not our age. It's not our looks. It's not what we are first and foremost. I keep saying that. So what is to be? If that's what it isn't, then what is our supreme identity? Spiritually speaking, hint, hint. The question again. So what is our supreme, preeminent, dominant identity? Spiritually speaking, question mark, question mark.
Almighty.
All right. So, the first one, and believe me, you can choose how you identify yourself, because some of these are going to be a little too strong for you. But they are in the Word of God. No one would probably choose this label, but we are slaves of the Most High God. Yes. Slaves of the Most High God. Now that's tough. That's tough. I know. But I want to show you from the Word why I say that. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Glory be to God. And just throw your hand up when you have it. So take your time. And when you do have it and you find it, then throw your hand up and then I'll know that that you have it. Thank you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Father. Okay. Verse 1. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant. Yeah, yeah. Joshua chapter 1. Yeah. Thank you, Mother. Yeah, because I want them to see it. So just bear with us, please. Yeah, chapter 1 and then verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Chapter 1. Yep, and then verse 1. Okay, all right, thank you. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Most translations are going to have servant there, right? That word is slave. By the way, I've told you this before, slave is used 801 times in the Old Testament. 801 times in the Old Testament, and not one time that I can remember was it ever translated slave. Because of the stigma. New Testament is mentioned, I think, either 161 or 181. A couple of times in there, it's a few times there's mentioned slave. But overwhelmingly, when the translators wimped out and chose to go with servant, that lost a lot of revelation and in depth that could have been gained from that. So it's up to teaching pastors who are going to study the Word of God to dig in and get that out so that we don't lose that. Now, speaking to black people about slavery is a challenge, but you know what? I can't wimp out like everybody else, and you miss out on what God, this is God's word. This is God speaking through his servant here, talking about, and by the way, this is how God refers to Moses. Look what he says again. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the slave of the Lord, look how he said Moses, he said the great prophet, Moses leader of the people, Moses pastor of a million church people. Moses the lawgiver, Moses the meekest man on the earth. Those are all some other titles he had. But the Lord God chose to refer to him as the slave of the Lord. That the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' slave. Wow, he refers to Joshua as Moses' slave, saying, Moses, my slave, again, is dead. Look at that. Now, you're reading again. Not making it up. Now, I know it's tough to say, man, I'm a slave of God. You're going to look at people crazy. People going to look at you real crazy. Well, that's who God, and that's how God refers to us. As slave. Absolutely. Absolutely. He said, Moses, my slave is dead. Now, therefore, rise, cross to Jordan. Look at verse 7. Skip down to verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my slave, commanded you. Verse 13. Go down to verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the slave of the Lord, commanded you, saying, are you getting this? Look at verse 15. Until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they all possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the slave of the Lord, gave you beyond the... Look, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the first 15 verses of chapter 1. Turn over to Acts chapter 27, please. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. Acts 27, verse 21. Okay. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in the midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. So the story is, they're on the high seas. They leave the island of Crete, run into some rough weather, and there was a lot of damage, and there was loss of cargo and things on the ship. So Paul said, you ought to have followed my advice not to have left the island of Crete. You should have just stayed there. But they did leave and they incurred this loss. So this is verse 22 now. Acts 27, verse 22. Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. Now, it's something. Paul is telling them about how to survive this and not and live. So they were in a very difficult situation. It was perilous. It was dangerous. There could be loss of life if instructions weren't followed. So the Lord comes and tells him, you're going to lose the ship, but nobody's going to die. So this is rough weather. In the middle of all of that, as he's giving these men instruction, he takes the time to say, because an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. He's taking the time to identify himself as a slave. That's slave talk. I belong to him and I serve him. At a time like this? Why? Because that's who I am. I am a slave of God. They wore that with pride. I know with black folk, that's going to be a challenge. I understand that. But I still want you to understand how the Lord sees all people, not just red, brown, but all folks.
Amen.
He's the master. And remember, we say the word, we use this word, but we don't, I've tried to teach you, but we got to keep reminding you. But remember, we talk about it all the time. Jesus is what?
Lord.
Kurios, Lord. That word means master. And by being master, what makes a master? Means that you automatically, you have slaves. If he's Lord, you have subjects. You're not Lord over no one. So just the fact that he's Lord and you're saying he is Lord, you're saying he's my Lord, then what are you saying by that? I'm his slave. I mean, Paul gave complete honor to the Lord God, even in the midst of a tremendous life and death situation. The God whom I serve and who I belong to told me it's going to be all right. And he's like saying, my master wouldn't lie to me. Yeah, my master would not lie to me. He stood by me this night and said, you know what? Y'all going to lose that ship, but everybody going to live. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the next book over, verse 1. Romans 1 and 1. Paul, comma, a bond slave of Christ Jesus, comma, called as an apostle, comma, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Well, isn't that something? Before he called himself an apostle or his position is set apart for the gospel, the first thing he says is, I am a slave of Christ.
Amen.
He had every right to say, Paul, an apostle. But he first says, I'm a slave of Christ. That was his identity. I'm tied to him forever. I'm linked to him. I'm subservient to him. He's my Lord. I am his slave. Verse 3, same chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his son, who was born of descendants of David according to the flesh, who is declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake. Verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of Christ, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, and we are called saints. So one thing with where we struggle as black people with the word slave and slavery is all we see is American slavery.
Yeah.
American race-based chattel slavery. That's all we see.
Yeah.
Which I understand, but this is not that slavery. It's not that kind of slavery. He's not that kind of master. That's what we got to get out of our minds. Get Master Johnson out your mind. and get Toby out your mind. Recognize this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This master, see, and it opens up a whole new world of understanding of the love of God, the love of Jesus. This master died for the slaves. Mm-hmm. What master would ever do that? He died for the slaves. He took the penalty that the slaves should have, the real beating that we should have took for real, for not the unjust beatings that were happening in America. The beating we should have got for the sin, he took the beating. He told the master, I'll take the beating for them. Not only that, I'm going to die the death they should die. I'm going to pay the debt they're supposed to pay. Do we not owe him our lives? That's a whole new look at slavery. That's a whole new look at a master and a slave relationship. Father God, help us to get this in the name of Jesus. This master died for the slave. He allows us to know him intimately. Yeah. Wasn't like that in real slavery, in American slavery. Mm-hmm. We can go up into the throne of grace and not wrath, boldly, and ask things of the Most High God as slaves. Mm-hmm. Look at verse... you're in Romans 1, right? Look at verse 9. Apostle Paul speaking again to the church at Rome. For God, whom I serve in my spirit. Like, I'm going to make this known. I serve God. That's my master. I'm his slave. You know, some of us, hopefully not in here, but Christians, some of us are living such shoddy lives. You need to keep your mouth closed. Don't let nobody know you're a slave of God. You're certainly not obeying the master. Amen. He didn't tell you to fornicate. He didn't tell you to adulterate. He didn't tell you to side with the LGBTQ community. He didn't tell you to go with abortion as murder. You need to just go and be quiet. Don't say nothing. Keep your head down and just keep your eyes closed. Put a hood on. Won't nobody see who you are. And you know what? We kind of halfway joking, but I can only imagine the pain, anthropomorphically speaking, that God feels when he sees his children just acting all crazy, all out. They're real, genuine children of God, siding with wickedness, things that he hate and loathe. They're siding with it. And he's up there, got me shaking his head. Like, wow, really? We aren't acting like slaves because we're doing our own thing, whereas a slave only does what pleases the master. Mm-hmm. Somebody told us, it's your thing, do what you want to do. And we believed it. That became our theology. Mm-hmm. Do what you want to do. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, Father, for even the boldness to even talk on this subject in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You definitely got to have on big boy pants talking about a subject like this for sure. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah. Okay. Verse 1. Paul and Timothy. Yep. Bond slaves of Christ Jesus. Who? Paul and Timothy. Put them both in there together. Mm-hmm. Paul, arguably the greatest apostle outside of Jesus Christ in the history that ever walked the face of the earth. Timothy, personally taught by the Holy Spirit through the apostle Paul. And they both don't say, look here, we popping collars. We got international fame. We're no, you speaking about my name and I've been dead for over 2,000 years. None of that. No horn tooting, chest beating, crowd pointing, none of that. It's bond slaves of Christ. That's putting it in perspective. Because, brother, as you go into ministry and things get to going right and you get some accolades here and there, we need to be reminded that, you know, at best, we're slaves. I didn't make this happen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Paul and Timothy, bond slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, the bishops, rather, and deacons. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. A couple of books over. Titus chapter 1. Verse 1. In fact, I'll just have you write these down. Titus 1:1. Paul, a bond slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Look at the order again. You can write it down. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondslave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 1. Peter, a bondslave and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1. Jude, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. So that's Titus 1, James 1, 2 Peter 1, and Jude 1. All of them. Paul, a bondslave, James, a bondslave, Peter, a bondslave, and Jude, a bondslave. That's not by accident. These great men, Jude and Peter and Paul and Timothy and Moses. Matter of fact, let me show you something. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse. We'll start verse 5, Philippians 2 and 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Then it, now they're going to talk about Christ Jesus. Who? Talking about Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking on the form of a, slave. Even Jesus is a form of a slave. Yeah. So you got Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, where it even talks about how Jesus took on the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. So even Jesus, when referring to his humanity, is that of a slave. When we talk about Moses, Peter, Timothy, Paul, James, Jude, you can add Jesus to that mix as pertaining to his humanity. Being a slave is a great badge of honor. I know that's something that got to flip the mind script for that, because we got to get out of American slavery and realize what we're talking about. We are talking about that which pertains to Jesus Christ and him being our master. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The last book of the Bible. Chapter 1. So we started in the Old Testament way back in Joshua. Now we're in the last book of the Bible. And we still are going to see some things here. The Revelation 1 and 1. Okay, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bond slaves the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond slave John. So it was revelation is to reveal to us his slaves what's going to happen, and he's going to do that by letting his slave John tell us. Now, isn't that something? The master is letting us in on a secret. It's a different kind of master. The slave in American slavery, the last slave didn't know nothing. Here, he's letting us know before others. That's something. To his bond slaves, the things which soon must take place. And he communicated it by his angel to his slave John. Look at verse 19. I'm going to the back of the book now. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. Then I fell at his feet. The angel had told him some good things, and he fell worshipfully at his feet to worship him. But the angel said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow slave of yours. I'm a slave just like you and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You see that I'm a fellow slave just like you. Turn over to Revelation chapter 22. The very last book in the Bible. Verse 3. Revelation 22, verse 3. And that's something. The very last chapter. There will no longer be any curse. Thank you, Jesus. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. Talking about the new city, the new Jerusalem. And his slaves will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Wow, that means personal ownership. That's God, Almighty, Eternal Creator, that we belong to. This is in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the last book. We're still known as slaves. Well, how did that come to be? How did that happen? Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 28. Turn over to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he, look at this, purchased with his own blood. You were bought with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, is that a worthy master? He Amen. Gave his actual blood life for us. He didn't pay money. He paid with his life. The old song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
Amen.
Sin has left a crimson stain, but he has washed it white as snow. He paid it all.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what I need you to focus in on. Focus on the spiritual aspect of it.
Amen.
Masters don't die for slaves. Period. You don't give your life for slaves. He gave his life. Shouldn't he give? I said, Lord, you gave your life. Certainly you can ask me for mine.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
He has a right to. He may not, but he has a right to. Purchased with his own blood, in case you got it twisted. He stuck own in there. He shed his own blood to purchase the people of God. That's why I told you it is a serious thing to be up here teaching the people of God who he loves so much that he purchased with his own blood. That's serious stuff.
Amen.
He takes how I treat you very seriously. That fellow refers to ministry as open heart surgery. One wrong snip. Ain't no oops. Mm-hmm. No, it ain't no oops up in the operating room. Because, I mean, it could be an oops, but it may be an oops that costs a person their life. And only in the surgery room, it's only going to cost them their natural life. Here, it may have eternal ramifications.
Amen.
One more, and we're going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. We have a more complete teaching on this called The Beauty of Slavery. You can find it on the website. The Beauty of Slavery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? That's slavery talk. You are not your own. You don't even own you. For you have been bought with a price. We just read what that price was. The blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You owe that as a slave to him, that you glorify him in your body. Amen. And we'll pick up next time. If you can't bring yourself to the point that you can refer to yourself as a slave, then you can call yourself a Christian. We'll pick that up next time. Father God. Woo, Father God, we thank you for your word. It's a beautiful thing. We're being brainwashed by the water of the Word of God. Because we've been brainwashed for decades against the things in your Word. And now you're going to wash that junk right out of our hearts. We appreciate that, Father. Thank you that the Word cleanses. I like how my preacher friend Rodney Pearson said it's like holding a plate underwater. And it may be stuff stuck to the plate, but eventually that water keep running over it. That stuff gets washed off. And that's what you're doing. You're washing our brains, cleaning them, cleansing them, so that you can tell us now we are clean through your word. We love your word. We treasure your word. It is our everything. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. It is your word that we are treasuring and storing up in our hearts in abundance, that we may not sin against you. How can the people of God, the slaves of God, keep their way pure? By keeping it according to your word.
Amen.
Now unto you, Father God, who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. You are the only wise God, only wise God and Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and time and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.